This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given in August of 1956. The title of this lecture is Knowingness. This lecture is 28 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
I want to talk to you now on the subject of knowingness. For an individual to give a lecture on the subject of knowingness is at once adventurous and, perhaps even conceited. To talk about knowing is an adventurous thing to do. But having done it for years, I've had a lot of practice. And my qualms are today minor regarding saying anything about it. But the fact of the matter is today I feel a little more humble concerning the subject than I did once. That's very peculiar, isn't it? It's rather interesting to look at the tremendous urgency with which people study, which they learn, various things, the agony they go through in order to acquire knowledge. For instance, I feel enormous respect for somebody who speaks five or six languages. I think this boy is really, really something. Of course, he might be just re-stimulated in five or six lives, but I know he wasn't. I nevertheless do feel considerable respect for him because I know how hardly won this material was. And in view of the fact that we do engage in teaching, it is rather interesting to observe that knowing could be the end all of everything, but isn't. There's a scale. It is called the know to mystery scale, and that scale goes as follows. Know, meaning a totality of, not knowing a datum, but knowing a totality. Not know is below it. Below not know is look, which we mean as perceive. Below perceive, there are, by the way, about 54 perceptions, of which four or five are important to us. Below this, there's emote, emotion. And below emotion, there's effort, which includes at its bottom band solids. And below solids is think. And below think is symbols. A symbol, of course, is something that has mass, meaning, and mobility. And if anything has mass, meaning, and mobility, it is a symbol. And below that level, we have eat. And below that level, we have sex. And below that level, we have mystery, which is, of course, the reverse of know. The way we discovered this particular scale is to note that people went progressively through these subjects. And rather routinely, when you audit somebody on something like old opening procedure by duplication, you would find him going upwards, first scatteringly and then in a rather orderly fashion, right straight up the scale through these various subjects. It's rather disheartening to note that all processes that would be thought to be germane to a Thetan who is a thinking being only, we think, end and stop at think. And what most of us think of as knowing is really think on the band. Knowing data is at think on the notice sex scale. And that is the knowingness that most of us consider to be knowingness. Thinkingness, knowing data, memorizing the parts and nomenclatures. Now, an odd process fits right in there. Inventing something to know is about the key process right there. Inventing something to know. Thetans do this all the time. Here's a body walking around. It's perfectly all right. Nobody's worrying about it particularly. And then all of a sudden, somebody invents a lot of Latin names to describe what it is. Now, men do this because they try to get a stable datum into a confusion. And when they're trying to understand a thing, they like to talk about it. And if they're going to talk about it, they have to invent nomenclature. And then they can discuss what they're talking about. And we've dropped it once to symbols, haven't we? But inventing something to know about is probably one of the top games that a Thetanist plays. It's interesting in Scientology that we are transcending this point possibly for the first time in a couple of thousand years. We're actually not inventing here something to know about. We are inventing nomenclature, and we are discussing these things, which is quite remarkable, and we are doing these things. We're using thinkingness, knowingness, its apparatus, and so forth, and symbols, and so on, to go on up into the upper band. And doing that, then we handle and can handle actual solids, efforts, emotion, real perceptions, and the general idea of just a total knowingness. Now, this whole problem of upper band should be of the greatest importance to you when you look over just such a subject as hay fever. Here's one of the most persistent, cussed, mean, dribbly things that anybody ever got connected with. Comes on, what are you going to do about it? Take histamine, get an electric shock? What are you going to do? It isn't going to do you a bit of good. Even sometimes on older processes, you could get it audited out, and next summer it was gone, but the summer after that it kind of sniffled back into place again. This is one of the wicked things. Why? Why is it so hard to handle? Because it depends on a thinking being, man, and I assure you that man is a thinking being, jumping all the way upscale to perceive. And on perception, this thinking being, man, is almost a total effect. And until he can mock up pollen, face powder, other things which are solid enough to be used into work, he will, of course, continue to be the effect of smells, won't he? Emotions will continue to be automatic until he can synthesize them. We have all the way down there at the bottom of the scale, we have sex. Well, that means sex as practiced. What about the emotion, the feeling or sensation mixed up in sex? That's up in the emotion band. And a man will continue to be the effect of sex until he can simply mock it up, that sensation, that emotion. He can mock up that sensation or emotion. He, of course, is causative on this subject. Until he can do that, you might say he is to some degree an effect. This is why some chap Freud, I think his name was, something like that, from Hungary or someplace, chap that wrote way back there in the Dark Ages. Let's see. Anyway, he said that all of man's aberrations stem from sex. Well, if the fellow had gone further and looked, he finally would have found that he had a piece of the puzzle. But there's something very strange about this. Having cleared up all the sex in everybody, they still weren't well. Now, if you want to totally clear sex out of somebody, you would, of course, make him eunuch or something like that. And you find out this doesn't help his psyche a bit. Freud didn't look around and apply his theory to the practical universe. I received a letter the other day from Copenhagen on the subject that I wrote something called A Critique of Psychoanalysis. I never felt brave enough before to criticize psychoanalysis. Now I find the 10 various tenets of psychoanalysis, or all of them, calculated to spin somebody in. I better start talking about it. I better start saying, you Scientologists better not do any of these things, because look what happens. You'll wind up a psychoanalyst. Anyhow, when you look into this subject, you find that somebody in Freudian work flickers from sex up to figure, back to sex to figure, back to sex to figure, and they just go in a little cycle. Miss Chapman Copenhagen told me I was all wrong in writing this essay. I was all wrong because actually the beautiful, noble, what did he call it, sublimation of sexual urges into perceiving sexual objects didn't mean that Freud had everything nailed down as being caused by sex. I read this over again. You can listen to it over again on a tape or something of sort, and it makes just as much sense. It's fake. See? In other words, Freud was unjustly accused of putting everything into the sexual band, and this is unjust. And analysts tell you this all the time, because he really didn't mean sex. He meant sexually social. It was sex in its society was sociality or something. In other words, they never quite come off of this point. Why? It's a major effect, certainly, but it's not the answer. In research and investigations, you should never, never, never get yourself hung up on a figure, which is some little tiny part of a whole, and say, well, now we're stuck right here. And we're not going anyplace from this point. Try and find out if there's just a little bit more somewhere. I do that all the time. It winds me up in an awful lot of trouble. You keep getting your techniques changed and so forth. Now, this band, the only reason I've introduced this is because the world at large didn't accept psychoanalysis, but a lot of intellectuals did. They could realize that they were being the effect of a certain type of action. And so thoroughly were they being the effect of this type of action, that they were convinced that it must be the total effect possible. That only takes place when people are well below even clear-cut think. See, they have to be below that point. That tells you that the people who did this would really be incapable of origin of symbols, think. They wouldn't be able to eat well, somewhat. But origin of symbols, think, would be above them, and very certainly, wow, solids, effort, emotion, perception, the ability to forget, to not know something, and actually the totality of knowingness would be out of their grasp. Be out of their grasp so thoroughly that they would never be able to understand that they had ever existed. Get that very clearly, because someday you're going to talk to somebody, and that somebody's going to be all dug in mystery. He's going to be a priest of the Rosicrucian Holy Empire Synagogue or something. You know? He's going to be really something. You're going to talk to him. He's stuck at the mystery band. He can't have sex. He doesn't eat. Symbols are horribly dangerous to him, and think is something you must not do. Do you see how that scale works out? Be, do, and have was placed alongside of the no mystery scale by an auditor, and he found that people were trying to do, you place the be, do, have alongside of where they were on the tone scale, and you could predict their actions. You could find out what they were trying to be, and what they were doing, and what they had. They have mystery. Why, they're trying to do sex, and they're trying to be food. Got the idea? It's quite amusing commentary, but he said this is invariable, and he did quite a bit of work with it. I was quite amused to read his essay on it when he sent it to me, because it certainly describes a priest. People, by the way, one of these days may look at a lot of you guys as a bunch of priests or something of the sort, you know. Now, it's a remarkable thing that a person who can create a high level of effect does happen to be looked upon in an authoritative role. Very authoritative. We're talking here very factually about, if you want to know the truth of it, probably the priesthood of tomorrow, whether you like it or not. Somebody will lecture to that level. I won't lecture there. I'd rather be dead first. But people will like, because you can produce superior effect. Now, we look this over, we find we don't have to produce effects with this kind of violence. We find the first effect that we could produce on man would be the effect of permitting him to know. In other words, let's let him graduate up from wherever he's stuck in his stomach, or he's stuck in a bunch of figure symbols, or it's all a big mystery to him. And we just tell him a few little stable data, one after the other. You find he comes way upscale, all out of proportion. That's actually because we have taken his attention off from being the total effect of sex. You follow me? We've taken his attention off of being the total effect. We have shown him that there is something else in existence than what he is fixated on. Where he is sitting, it's all confusion. We give him some stable data, he feels better. Therefore, we can move men up rather easily simply by teaching them upscale from where they are. So why should we go around brainwashing anybody? We can run a few basic courses, and one of the things you'll do yourself in doing this is you'll inevitably overestimate the ignorance of your audience. A bunch of people walk in for a little series of lectures, 5-6 lectures a night, and you'll assume they're like we are here. They're all hep. They're all in the know. They're gone Scientologists. You know? No, they're not. And you probably would err in trying to get the simplicity level that would be acceptable to them. Their knowingness, in other words, would be way below what you would expect. It isn't that they're not possible. Their knowingness isn't possible. It isn't that their potential isn't high. But they are confused. And their confusion is such that you have to furnish a stable datum that will match that confusion. And what are they confused about? Well, they're confused about such a thing as, what is life anyhow, you know? And you tell them, life is a cycle of action that starts with create, goes through survive, and winds up with destroy, and they're very happy with you. Now, you tell them that anatomy of create, survive, destroy, and you're liable to have somebody unhappy in your audience. Don't try to challenge them. Just give them some data that they can accept and bring them upstairs on that. And some of the very fundamental materials of Scientology. Not the formula of communication anywhere near as much as ARC, its use in attempting to get a point across to somebody else. You'll find they all of a sudden say, oh, I see. You have to be nice to somebody to get him to listen to. Well, what do you know? Of course, this makes all of us just a bunch of bums to do this. That's dishonest. They have all sorts of odds and ends that they will unscramble from. And it might take them several weeks of going around to all of a sudden cognite on this data. Well, amongst ourselves, it has a quite different situation. I took one of our good auditors here a short time ago, and he real good auditor, see? And I hadn't released modern games theory or anything of this character, and or any of the processes connected with them. But this fellow was going out on an emergency. He was going to a foreign country to treat somebody who was practically kicking the bucket, and we had pulled him in a hurry. And I sat there for about an hour and a half or 2 hours and briefed him. I gave him some notes on what he was to do, because he had to produce a miracle, and this was as close as I could give him to producing a miracle at that moment, was to tell him what I knew. Well, I did that, and it took me an hour and a half, 2 hours of briefing. He sailed out of here. He was smiling at me and saying, yes, that's right, that's true. It's giving me the proper auditor acknowledgement and so forth. And he got across the channel and got elsewhere, and he was held up for a little while on going to his destination. And he all of a sudden wrote a letter in to somebody in the Hazi, and he said, I've just cognited on what Ron was talking about. All right. It took him 3 days to cognite on that material. And there was a very clever chap who was right straight across the boards with lots of experience. So, of course, he was thrown an awful lot of stuff. Crash. A very short period of time. But 3 days later, he'd cognited on what it was all about, and the material was useful to him. In the same ratio, somebody comes from a business firm and sits down in a PE course you're giving, or a group course, something like that, and you tell him, well, life consists of people living. This fellow, 2 months later, cognites on this, and he looks all around, and he says, what do you know, there's people living all around the place here. And you, with your considerable, in the first place, you wouldn't be here if you didn't have a considerable ability to understand, which is very odd. Scientologists fight amongst themselves sometimes, claw each other's eyes out, and yap-yap about how they've done in other preclears. And they have a good time finding opponents amongst themselves. But a strange part of it is the fact that Scientologists are otherwise than the higher strata of intellectual in the world. It happens to be a lie. We have grooved with IQs and background people of Scientology, and we find that they belong to the upper 10,000 of Earth. That's very remarkable. Your audience of people to become auditors is somewhat limited. See, you in training people and so forth will find that you have limitations. The reason the person came to you in the first place, I'm not just handing you a sop of one kind or another, I really grooved this out. I wanted to know why everybody in the United Kingdom, the United States, wasn't at least a practicing auditor tomorrow, see? Why weren't they all in there pitching? So we carefully went over cross sections of population to find out what was the level of knowingness of these people, basically, and we found that we were already dealing with the upper crust of intellectualism. This is a fantastic thing. I mean, it's a sad thing. I mean, I look around me and I say, well, gosh, there's no hope for man at all. I mean, that's a dirty trick. No, this is a fact. This is a fact. There is hope for man because you're here. But the truth of the situation is that man's level of knowingness is nowhere near where you think it is. And boy, that's the first thing you ought to learn. The level of knowingness of your preclear is nowhere near where you think it is. Somebody comes in, he's got an IQ of 80. Wow. Wow. Take you 3 days, teach that person to spell cat. And you're going along and you're going to process about something you're supposed to get cognitions on. You'd probably have to audit them for 2 days for them to find out they were preclear. I mean, just to find out that they were there being processed. I don't mean a cognition on present time, but to find out analytically, the way you think people go from an analytical cognition to a basic cognition when something blows in the bank. That is not the case. The person actually would have to wander around before he had an analytical cognition that he was a preclear in the joint. You understand? This knowingness is always something that is very, very not very difficult to estimate, but it's always something that's very easy to underestimate and overestimate. You're always shooting around on this basis. Only a stupid man conceives that he knows more than anybody else anywhere about everything. That guy's dumb. I can tell you that he's stupid. Well, I got any place on Scientology. I had to find out I was about the dumbest guy that ever lived. That's the truth of the matter. I had to break down and admit that I wasn't smart enough to know what man was all about. That was the first pretense I had to break to flinders. It hurt my pride to do it. Because I was an author, and I had been writing about man and his reactions for many years. A very interested audience. And as time goes on, I find out that the further one walks in that direction, the further one has to continually assert his own brilliance. So that an individual who's teaching people merely to assert his own brilliance or to overwhelm them with his knowledge will never teach them. And the best thing that you can do when you're teaching somebody is trying to find their level of confusion rather than their level of reality and flipping a stable datum into it. Every once in a while, you can be talking to somebody and he all of a sudden looks at you and says, well, what do you know? He's giving you cognition. And you search back to find out what you said. You said it was usually best to eat breakfast in the morning. This produced a terrific cognition. He realized this afterwards. So on the subject of knowingness itself, if you're dealing with a total knowingness of everything at the top of the scale, it must follow that you can deal with, mock up, be cause with, as well as effect with, everything else on the know to mystery scale. Otherwise, you're mucking around in the garbage of nirvana. Rather soupy walking, I must assure you. The road up and the road out is the road through. And one of the steps on that road, which is above most of the actions of the human race, is think on the note of mystery scale. Until a person can do this well and do this clearly and do this as a cause point. He can think about something because he wants to think about it. He can know about something because he wants to know about it. Only then is he ready to mount the rest of the stairs. And the road to total knowingness is, of course, also traveled through an attention to game's condition. There are some processes which I could give you on this particular line that would knock your preclear silly head off. But this is a talk about theory, not a talk about processes. Knowingness processes are usually above your level of your preclear to tolerate. Real knowingness processes. But solids can be processed today, they should be processed today, and they gradually shake your preclear out of the lower band. You can directly attack solids today as a processing target. And as such, you can then know about thinking long before you would have otherwise as a preclear.